Well, this is part two of the message that for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that faiths. I'm struggling with this message. In my own spirit, not because it's a hard truth, but it is a truth not recognized by that which is called the church today. Look, we're in the most religious season of the year. Many Christian churches call it Lent. I live close by to several churches. I drive by the Catholic Church and see the parking lot filled for 8 o'clock Mass during this time, when in other times of the year there's hardly a car seen, but they go about, and I'm not condemning anyone. I'm trying to tell the truth. And the parking lot is filled with those that think somehow or other during this time of, which is called Lent, that they're doing something that pleases God. For those who are doing it by faith, amen. But as the third verse of Romans 10 says, well, let's go back and read it again. It says from the beginning, it says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, that is, that righteousness which is revealed in the gospel of Christ, that righteousness that God gives us now for faith, that is, for grabbing hold of his promises, for recognizing that his word is more real than all that we see, feel, or experience. That for faith, God gives his righteousness. It says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. I drive by another church, an Episcopalian church, got a cross outside, and it's robed in purple garments. I drive by another church and it's advertising, you know, join us for the Easter egg hunt Sunday morning. By another Easter Sunday morning, drive by another church and they say, Join us for the sunrise service. Ignorant, it says, of God's righteousness. How is that? Because the word is not being taught, because the doctrines of men, the traditions of men, are replacing. The words of God. The 14th verse of this 10th chapter says, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe? You know, stay with me, change that word to faith. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, I'm probably the poorest excuse for a preacher there is. Least among all the saints. But I had a teacher. And I have no doubt my job is to continue on teaching, that is, to sharing that which I received. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Christianity is the life of faith. I am sure. I know where we're going, at least at the moment. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Galatians. We were in Romans. We're going to Galatians. I'm not sure where we're going after this, but we could go to the book of Hebrews, because all three of these books are centered around that Old Testament passage delivered by Habakkuk, the prophet, in that fourth verse of the second chapter. It says, the righteous by faith shall live. It literally says, out of the Hebrew, the righteous ones of me, God speaking. He's speaking of his righteousness, not ours. His righteousness, which he gives, which is the power of God unto salvation, which is the gospel. The righteous of me ones, by the amen, that is, by the no doubt of him, that is, Jesus Christ, shall live. And live by faith, even the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, this book of Galatians, it's written to a church that Paul himself founded. And we're not going into the whole book. We're going into the third chapter. There's a problem that has arisen in this church. And Paul means to confront it. What's the problem? The problem is those who came from Jerusalem, those who came from James, are telling the people, yeah, you're saved by grace, but now you gotta perform the work. Now you gotta do it. Now, he says, in the second verse, let's go to the first. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has put an evil eye on you? Who has, if we could use another vernacular, who has put a spell on you other than the God spell? That is, who has brought you under the influence of a word other than what the New Testament reveals, that a righteousness of God is given to the ones who faith, and faith cometh by hearing. What? Let's go on. Let's listen to what Paul says. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey, that is, run to the voice of the truth? Before whose eyes? Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. For Christ, because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Sounds to me like Paul's message is consistent. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so great things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, the word is the literal is energizes power in you. That is the power of God unto salvation. Doeth he by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Is that preacher perfect? Or I could say, is that preacher preaching his perfection or the Word of God? Let's just read for a while. And that in the reading, that is in the speaking forth, that is in the hearing, that faith might come. Paul goes on to say, doeth he by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith, even as Abraham faithed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. There's a marginal note, it says imputed. So much more to say, but let's continue. It was accounted unto, he faithed God, and it was accounted. Unto him for righteousness, not his righteousness, but God's righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, we have taught here all these years a biblical principle, which is the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. There's just a lot of gospel in the Old Testament besides that which is called the law. There are literally thousands of promises contained in that Old Testament as revealed in the New. Listen, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Listen. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. You know what this is saying? You know what the Old Testament says? Leviticus 18:5 says, you know, the one that does them shall live. But it also says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. That is perpetually. That is perfectly. That is personally to continue in all things that are written in the book of the law. Paul doesn't waste time defining this activity or that activity as sin, as so many of the brethren would say, well, this is sin and that's sin. And you know, the word is hamartia. It means to fall short of the glory of God. In that book of Romans, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. And yet, in that which is called the Church of Jesus Christ, we find consistently a message. Oh, well, this is Christianity, that you do this and don't do that. Don't do that or don't do this and do this and do that and do the other thing. And that will make you happy. The message is the righteous, that is, the righteousness of God by faith. Those are the ones who live. But that no man is righteousified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the righteous by faith shall live. There it is. And the law is not of faith. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. For the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. That's that Leviticus 18:5 passage. Know anyone who's lived forever? Just a little minor proof that, you know, as God said, the wages of sin is death. There ain't no one. Who is living, in the perfect performance of that which the law required. Listen. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. The witness of the word. The truth of God. Here's the gospel. Christ has redeemed, has rendered payment, has rendered ransom, has rendered that which was required for one who lost the inheritance. For one who was removed from the presence of God. paid the full price. From Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse, King James says, for us. Yea, for us. But to make the picture more evident, the Greek word suggests Christ being made a curse over us. What was the curse? The curse was not continuing in all things which were written in the book of the law. Picture this. The law hanging over our heads. The guillotine blade, if you will, was certainly coming down on us. And Christ stepped in and became a curse over us, that we might step out from the curse of the law and live. You know, Don, kind of sounds like you're really against the law. No, I'm not against the law. As Jesus says in the 5th chapter of Matthew, I come not to destroy the law, I come to fulfill the law. Let's go on. Being made a curse over us, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Greek has through the faith. We'll continue in that, hopefully, shortly. Brethren, Paul says, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, alternative is testament. We call this book the Old and the New Testament. It's a testament is a one-party agreement. It's not bilateral, it's one party, and we're reading of God's testament. Paul says, we know about this, though it be but a man's testament, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it or addeth thereto. It's settled. It's settled. Now, to Abraham and his seed, it doesn't say seeds, it says seed, singular. Were the promises made, he saith not to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the testament that was confirmed before of God in Christ the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul. What came after this promise? The law cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, then it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? Why did the law come up? It was added because of transgressions. It was like the law was like a mirror to show us our short fallen conditions. That the hope of eternal life would no longer be by our righteous performance. Paul is clear in that third chapter of Romans that there's none righteous. No, not one. That was the purpose of the law. It was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Circle that word till in your Bibles. Here's what it means. The law, it was a latecomer. It came after the promise. And it was an early goer. Paul argues, if we move on to the 21st verse, he says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid! For if there had been a law which could have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. But the scripture has concluded, all under sin, that the promise by the faith, the Greek has it, definite article, of Jesus Christ might be given to them that faith. Hallelujah. Praise God, might be given to them that faith, he goes on, but before, again, definite article in the Greek, before the faith came, we were kept under law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Another way that an alternative to the law, which it was proven none perfectly, perpetually, personally kept it. Therefore, the wages was death. But the law was given to bring us unto Christ another way, that we might be righteousified by the faith. And that is the faith of Jesus Christ. But after that the faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. We are no longer under the law. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Paul, having now compared the law to the righteousness of the law to the righteousness of God, which comes by faith, he declares unto his hearers, the church of Jesus Christ, he now declares, for ye are all children of God by faith. In Christ. Now, there are those that would translate this in another way. They would all say, for ye are all children of God by believing in Christ Jesus. Let's break it apart. For ye are all children of God by faith. Where? In Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. As many of you. That's not talking about the sacrament of baptized. As many of you as have been immersed in Christ. In Christ. In the eyes of God, have put on Christ. It's no longer the perpetual, perfect, personal performance of the law. The only one who ever did that is Christ, and God by faith has immersed us in Christ. Paul cuts through all of it. He says, for there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond or free, there's neither male or female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. If God and Abel, I want to attempt to illustrate something. In his teaching through the book of Galatians, Martin Luther makes a statement regarding the truth of the gospel. He says of these two groups, that is, those religious performers and those hearers of faith, those two groups called the church, Paul illustrates vividly in the fourth chapter, but Martin Luther goes on to say, of those two groups, he says, it is better for one group to be saved along with the truth of the gospel than for both groups to be lost along with the truth of the gospel. We, in our simple way, are putting forth the truth of the gospel. So, in the Gospel of Matthew, 9th chapter, 17th verse, Jesus says, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. We find it again in the second chapter of Mark. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else new wine doth burst the bottles, and the wine is spilled, and the bottles will be marred. But the new wine must be put into new bottles. In Luke 5:37, no man put a new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desires new. For he saith, the old is better. This gospel of God, which is the power of God unto salvation, speaks unto us this wise, that we in Christ become new creations of God. By faith, not by performance of the law, whether those laws are the result of God's word or those damnable laws that the doctrines of men put on men in their church. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. By faith. And that inward man is being renewed day by day. God, in the operation of the gospel, has not only put us in Christ, but has put a piece of Christ, that is God of himself, that God and Jesus being one, he has put, if you will, I'm sorry to go outside the word, but I'm trying to explain, if you will, God has put a molecule of himself in us. Because if he put all the new, that is his spirit, God help me, if we were complete, if we completely receive that which God has made available to us, it would bust this old body to smithereens. But we have that which God has given to we fathers, that is even the gift of God, that is by grace do we faith. And we, by grace, will continue to preach that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness it's not our performance but the performance of Jesus Christ which God gives us well you say Don I'm not feeling that power. Well, let's end it here. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. For there is no searching of his understanding. Listen, he giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, that is, those who are not doing it in their own strength, He increases strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew day by day. The inward man is renewed, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and faint not. That's the 40th chapter of Isaiah. If we go to the 41st chapter, in the 9th verse, it says, "Thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." If you've heard this and by faith been endued with the Spirit of God, then with me give all glory to God with thanksgiving. And that's the God School for today.